So yeah, it's been quite a couple of weeks, folks, and I'm so glad that we're here together tonight for church. It seems like it's been, you know, a couple of weeks, but I'm so glad that we're able to meet tonight and have a Wednesday night service. Prayer lists are in, hot off the press from Secretary Ellie. If you need one, see Elena. And let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we're going to sing our final hymn. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to our Wednesday evening message. We're going to stand. And we'll open up to hymn 52, which is one of our favorites around here, hymn 52. I didn't hardly recognize the church tonight when I walked in. The folks that rented the hall over the weekend moved everything around pretty much. But we seem to be in order now. Hymn 52, we have victory in Jesus. I'm so glad of that. Despite all of the craziness going on in the world, we have victory. We're the only people group on earth, us Christians, that can truly say we have victory. Yep. Isn't that a blessing? Victory in Jesus. We'll sing the first and the second for our final hymn prior to the message. First and second. Let's stand. Whoa. I wonder if perhaps our... Yeah, either that...
Disc isn't seated properly. That's possible. Let's try it. Let's try that one more time.
If not, it'll be a cappella. All righty. Hymn number 52. Well, praise the Lord, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And then I grabbed his groaning of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and now my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. We'll see about the choir. Try to figure out what the problem there is and get that thing working again. Well, at this time, let's grab our Bibles tonight and let's open up to the Gospel of Luke. For tonight's message, the Gospel of Luke will be in chapter 19. And just prior to reading our text, I'd like to give you our stats on the website from, this is from the month of December, the final month of the year here. We broke our all-time record. Seem to be doing that every month now. But the website is really impacting the world, folks. We had a total of 34,923 visitors to the site, bringing our grand total up to 653,420. We averaged 1,126 visitors a day for the month of December. So as far as I can figure here, our preaching is preaching 24/7 now. Somebody somewhere is listening to our messages day and night. This is exciting to me because we know that we're getting the gospel out. Souls are being saved and saints are being edified. So these numbers are really off the charts, folks. Our highest average prior to this was like 800-something a day. And this has just completely gone off the charts. And that's exciting because the Lord's using it in these last days for His own honor and glory. And we know that He will continue to do so until He comes. It's a great outlet, a great outreach for the church, the website. And it's a very worthy cause to support, keeping that thing going. So, go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 tonight. And question for you before we begin. What do you call a lion tamer who puts his right arm down a lion's throat? Answer, lefty. Lefty. You'll get that in a minute. In Luke chapter 19, look with me. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And as I was reading through Luke's gospel this week, by the way, this is my Sunday morning message. From this past Sunday, we weren't able to meet because of the blizzard. But here I was reading in Luke 19 concerning a man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is quite a character in the Bible. And I want to take us tonight to the school of Zacchaeus. Because by studying this man, well, by studying every person in the Bible, we learn. We're taught principles, biblical ones. And no different here in chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel, we read, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief amongst the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thine house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Beloved, I want to speak to you briefly tonight on the school of Zacchaeus. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the passage before our eyes. Lord, we thank you that this is not a parable, but dear Lord, it's not a fairy tale. It's an actual historical event that took place over 2,000 years ago. And Lord, we thank you that this same Zacchaeus tonight is in heaven with you. Lord, we thank you so much for the school of Zacchaeus, wherein we may sit and learn as divine students of the Word of God. And Father, we ask that you would help us to take the truths we're about to receive and apply them to our personal lives, that we may be better servants for thee. And, O Lord, that we may become divine scholars in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, tonight in Luke chapter 19, our Savior, for the first and only time recorded, invited himself to a man's house. Now, this is a picture of what Jesus would do for the Gentile world once the Jews rejected him. He would open an invitation to all that would receive him. Isaiah 65, verse 1, writes, said prophetically, this is the second person of the Godhead speaking through Isaiah's pen, I am found of them that sought me not. This teaches us that the Son of God offers himself to come to any soul. Anywhere, at any time. Anyone that will receive him, that is. And I believe that tonight, at this hour, The Lord Jesus is pressing himself upon the hearts and souls of people like never before. And that is because time is running out, church. Soon and very soon, we shall see the hour of tribulation upon planet Earth. Listen, the Antichrist is coming. All of the prophecies will be fulfilled. The only question will be, are you ready? So we're going to enter the school of Zacchaeus tonight, and we'll see what we might learn from his conversion. First of all, the first lesson that I see clearly here is that social position and standing does not matter to Jesus Christ. Look with me again at verse 1. We read, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief amongst the publicans, and he was rich." Now, Zacchaeus was a little man, stature-wise, but he was a big whale, position-wise. He was the chief of the tax collectors, okay? Now, this guy had gotten rich off of dishonest gain. Well, we're going to see in a little while here, he does truly, sincerely repent. Listen to me. Jesus saw him, and Jesus did not come against him. Because Jesus does not care about your social standing or position in life. He only cares that you come to him personally. Zacchaeus had three problems with his social position. First, he was a tax collector. Publican. In fact, he was the chief of the tax collectors, which means that he had many tax collectors under his authority. Now understand here, beloved, that those Jewish toll keepers, if you will, were chosen by the Roman authorities to exact taxes from their own Jewish brethren. And that through this means, the yoke of Roman bondage was only strengthened day by day. The more money they took from the Jews, the stronger Rome got. But Jesus didn't care that he was a tax collector. Jesus didn't care what he had done. Jesus didn't care about his position in life. He only cared whether Zacchaeus would accept him or not. Are you listening? What am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus is not partial in those who come to him. He wants them all to come. Great and rich, poor and bond. I mean, he wants all people of all nations to come to him. Though they won't. Now, the second problem that Zacchaeus had in his social position was that he also was a rich man. Notice that in verse 2 at the end. And he was rich. As we're going to find out, he got rich by defrauding his own people. They hated him. Zacchaeus had used false accusation to increase his own purse. He was a very rich man indeed. But Jesus didn't care that he was rich. Are you listening? Jesus doesn't care how much money you got in the bank or not. He doesn't care because he just cares about your soul. Saving it from your sin. The third problem I see that Zacchaeus had in his social position. Not only was he a tax collector, not only was he rich, but Zacchaeus was severely hated by the people. Folks, he was despised and rejected by the majority of Jericho. Publicans, that is tax collectors, were considered as traitors to the Jewish nation because of their taxing money from Israel and giving it to Rome. But Jesus didn't care that he was hated by his brethren. I hope you're listening. Jesus doesn't care who hates you. Jesus doesn't care if nobody in this world cares about you. He does, and he wants to save you. Listen, because your social position, your standing, and your finances does not matter as a hill of beans to Jesus Christ. Not at all. Don't listen to the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers. They tell you, Jesus wants you to be rich. No, Jesus wants you to be spiritually rich. I'll tell them to their face. They're wrong. They misinterpret the Bible. Luke chapter 18. Flip back a page. Look at this text. In Luke 18, look at verse 24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" See that? This young ruler came to Jesus, and he was very rich, and he went away from Jesus because of his riches. Jesus put his finger right on the thing he was trusting in, and he said, "Give it away, come follow me, and you'll have eternal life." And the guy said, "No, I refuse to turn from that." Folks, I don't care what it is in our lives. that's more important than Jesus. We need to turn from it and turn to Jesus. Now, I'm very sad there. I recently saw an interview from the state penitentiary with a man named Sam Berkowitz. Anybody know who Sam Berkowitz is? Son of Sam, ring a bell? Yeah, the son of Sam, serial killer from back in the 70s. He's still at Angola State Penitentiary in New York. And you know what he does today? He's a penitentiary minister. He got born again. The man is spirit-filled. I heard him with my own mouth. He teaches inmates about Jesus. He preaches the Bible behind bars. This guy was a serial killer. But Jesus didn't care that he was a serial killer. Because Jesus doesn't care what you've done. Jesus only cares about saving your soul. I tell that to people and they say, "Preacher, you're wrong. He's just faking it." Nope. I see the guy. I heard him with my own ears. He's not faking it. He got saved for real. And he's teaching others how to get saved. What a blessing that is. Your standing, your position in society does not matter at all to the Lord. He invites all people from all ranks to come to him, like Zacchaeus. This is the first lesson that Jesus is trying to show us through the school of Zacchaeus, that it doesn't matter your standing in life. Secondly, another lesson we learn. Look at this. Lesson number two. We see that he had an earnest desire. Look at verse 3 of our text. In Luke 19, look at verse 3. Don't miss this. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And he, Zacchaeus, sought to see Jesus, who he was." Notice in verse 3 that Zacchaeus had a sincere desire to meet Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that the majority of this world does not want to meet Jesus. They'll meet him in judgment on the great white throne one day, but they do not want to meet him personally. They do not seek him with their heart as Zacchaeus did. It is so important that we have an earnest desire. You know, your mama and your papa, they can't make you become a Christian. Oh, they take you to church, but they can't make you a Christian. See, it has to come from within. It has to be sincere. Zacchaeus not only wished to see Jesus, but he evidently desired to know him. Look at our text again. Verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Who he was. The implication here is that Zacchaeus, a Jew, wanted to know if Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah of Israel. He had a sincere desire, folks. Got to read between the lines. He was undoubtedly moved by deeper feelings than mere curiosity. The Son of God never gratifies the professional sightseer. You know that? You know, oh, yeah, that Jesus guy, oh, he's nice, that's lovely. And then they go their own way. Listen. Had there been no longing in Zacchaeus' heart for personal acquaintance with the Messiah, the Lord would have passed right on by that sycamore tree and never stopped. Jesus knew what was in his heart. Nobody meets Jesus who does not desire to know him in their heart. Folks, I tell you one thing. I can only speak for myself. In 1986, I began to have a hankering, longing desire to know more about Jesus. I wanted to know the truth. And I found it. Because I wanted it. That's all you have to have. Is a desire for the truth. And God will fulfill that. In Luke chapter 6. Hold your place again. Look in Luke chapter 6 real quick. And look with me at verse 21. Watch what Jesus says. Verse 20. "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Now, in chapter 6 here, in verse 21, Jesus says, "You are blessed because you seek me." Let that sink in. You are blessed tonight because you seek Jesus. It's all because of who you seek is why you're blessed. Oh, that's so good. In chapter 11 of Luke's gospel, I love the Gospel of Luke. It's such an action-packed book. It just gives you so much information. Here in Luke chapter 11, look with me at verse number 9. We read in Luke 11, verse 9, "I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
He says, Jesus says in words in red, you want to make heaven your home? Seek it. Ask for it. Receive it freely. I'll give it to you. But you have to knock on Jesus' door, and he will open it every time a person is sincere. I'll never forget 1985, when for the first time in my life, I began to desire to know the truth. I started visiting churches and asking questions. I'll never forget this one church I visited was a Methodist church, a dead Methodist church in Salem, Massachusetts, the witch capital of the country. And the minister, he would wear a long robe, you know, and talk about God and amen. There was no life at all in that church. But I'm like, is this what my sister's talking about? I don't know. And during the offering, he would do magic tricks for the congregation. He was a magician. I'm sorry. He was a magician preacher. Okay? And I'm like, man, that doesn't seem right to me. And so what? I kept going to this dead Methodist church. And one Sunday morning, he had, unknowing to him, a missionary from Haiti. You know, the voodoo in the jungle? Yeah, one of those. And she came in there, and she told a story about how one night, the natives, the voodoo practitioners, surrounded their straw hut. Her and five other missionaries, they stayed in a straw hut in the jungle of Haiti. And they had machetes that were going to behead them. Because they were taking people, were getting saved. And they were coming out of the voodoo religion, right? They didn't like it. And so they're all this crazy nonsense, singing and dancing around the thing, and they were going to kill them. So she said, what we did is we knelt on our knees, and we all held hands, and we prayed to Jesus to protect us through the night. And she said, you know what? She said, when the sun came up in the morning, we opened up the tent, the straw door, and they were all gone. And she said, later on, we found one of them who had surrounded us with the machete. And she asked him, why did you run? And he said, we ran away because of those big, huge soldiers surrounding your hut. We didn't want to get killed. Folks, listen to me. That story really touched me. And then she comes out and sings a solo of People Need the Lord. That's when the tears started flowing. Holy Ghost, for the first time in my life, I felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I felt conviction for sin for the first time ever. It was unbelievable. It was like, and I got my handkerchief and I'm going, what is this? What is this? It was the Holy Spirit all over me. Because finally a true servant of God came and told me about Jesus. And I got saved not long after that. But folks, I am so thankful that there was an earnest desire in Zacchaeus. Amen. Thirdly tonight, I see another lesson. Don't miss this. Lesson number three. He had a twofold obstacle in his way. Look at verse 3. Chapter 19, verse 3. He had a twofold obstacle in his way. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Now, notice here in verse 3 that Zacchaeus had a hindrance personally in himself, and he had a hindrance circumstantially in others. Listen carefully. He had a problem within. He was too short. And he had a problem without. There was a great crowd between him and Jesus. So if you want to come to Jesus, you're going to face a twofold obstacle. You're going to face an inner turmoil, and you're going to face an outer turmoil. First of all, you're not going to want to give up your sin. Second of all, others are not going to want you to give up your sin. Twofold obstacle in coming to Jesus, verse 3 teaches. Now, listen very carefully. A great crowd and a pair of short legs are really formidable obstacles in the way of seeing something or someone. Zacchaeus was, how we say, vertically challenged. Probably about 4'10". Listen. We're all just like Zacchaeus when coming to the Son of God. We have two difficulties confronting us. Our own shortcomings and the press of the world. That is, our own sin holds us back from Jesus, and the crowd we hang with would never go along with us going to church or reading the Bible or praying or giving to missions or getting saved. Twofold obstacle. Look at chapter 18 again. Luke 18, look at verse 23. And when he, the rich man, heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Heard what? Jesus said, give up your riches and come to me. And he said, nope, I'm sticking with my riches. Obstacle! Obstacles from coming to Jesus. Great hindrance money is today. People think their money's going to save them. They're so wrong. From the Gospel Herald, it was the beginning of a long holiday weekend, and the gas stations were crowded with motorists and cars waiting to fill up. Finally, the attendant at this one gas station got to the local preacher's car. Sorry about the delay, Pastor, the attendant said, but it seems as if everyone waits until the last minute to get ready for the trip he's planned. Oh yes, the preacher smiled and said, I know what you mean. I have the same problem in my business. People wait till the last minute to get saved, and you don't know if you get hit by a train, you know. Most people allow the obstacles in their way to prevent them from coming to Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Most people will allow the obstacles to prevent them from coming to Jesus. Isn't that sad? You would think it would be the opposite way around, but it's not. We all face obstacles, but we have to overcome those obstacles and come to Jesus Christ. It's an act of the will, folks. Listen now. I see a fourth lesson in the school of Zacchaeus. Lesson number four is that he had a fixed determination. Look at verse 4 again. Chapter 19, verse 4. And he what? Ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. Now notice here, in verse number 4, that Zacchaeus put himself into a position to meet Jesus. He wanted to see him, and he wasn't going to let the obstacles prevent him. Folks, you know what you need? If you want to get saved, you need a fixed determination. That you're going to meet Jesus no matter what the crowd says. No matter what your drunken buddies say. No matter what your sin says. I'm going to meet him. I'm determined. Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus, the chief of the tax gatherers, running and climbing up a tree like a schoolboy? Who'd have thought it? But listen, when there is a real desire to know Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers, there will be no concern about what men may think about me or you. Hear what I said? Listen to me. Your desire to meet Jesus must become stronger than your desire to please your friends. They may not be your friends anymore once you meet Jesus, and they probably won't. But let me tell you something, you'll be gaining the best friend an eternity can ever offer, Jesus Christ. Verse 4 teaches us that we must mean business when we come to God. There must be a fixed determination that is a resolve of the will to do whatever is necessary in order to find Jesus Christ. Oh, folks, if there was only more determined people in the world to come to Jesus, and never mind about the world. Think with me. If Zacchaeus had to go to all this trouble to see Jesus, do you suppose that maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to show us here that we need to come out of the hustle and bustle and confusion of the world and climb a spiritual tree? That is, get alone, away from the crowd, so that we can meet Jesus. We need a fixed determination. I wonder what tree you're hiding in tonight. I wonder what tree you need to come down out of. I wonder what tree is your present support in which Jesus wants to bring you down from and save your soul. In John 12, 21, don't turn there. And there were certain Greeks amongst them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Wow. They came all the way from Greece to meet Jesus. How far are you willing to go to meet him? They said, Philip, we know that you're one of his disciples, and we're determined to meet him for ourselves. We're not leaving Jerusalem till we do. Please call the master. And he did. Why? They had a determination to meet Jesus. Zacchaeus did. But something else, another lesson I want you to see quickly from the school of Zacchaeus, lesson number 5, that Zacchaeus received an unexpected invitation. Look at verse 5 of our text. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Listen carefully, folks. Zacchaeus is up in the tree. Jesus is passing by, and right when he got to the sycamore tree, Jesus stopped, said, "Time out," looks up, puts his eyes on Zacchaeus, and he says, "You, come down here. I'm coming to eat at your house. We're going to have lunch." Folks, don't you know that when you're seeking Jesus, he'll meet you halfway? Don't you know that he was not waiting for Zacchaeus to be there at that moment? It was no mistake. It was no coincidence. Jesus knew where to find Zacchaeus. And Jesus knows where to find you when you need him. I'm so thankful for that, because I need him so often, like every day. But look at here. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus and to know him, unaware that Jesus already saw him and knew him. That'll preach. Jesus already knows you. You just got to come to know him. Now, watch what Jesus says to Zacchaeus in verse 5. "Make haste," that's do it quickly, "and come down." Oh, folks, I'm here tight tonight. We need to come down out of the tree of pride. We need to come down out of the tree of lust. We need to come down out of the tree of sinful pleasures and come to Jesus. Folks, that's another picture of being humbled. Come down. If you're ever going to go up to heaven, you first got to come down to Jesus. Amen? Come down from that pride. Come down from that sin. And Jesus says, "I'll meet you if you come down." Let me ask you a question, church, tonight. Did Zacchaeus have to come down out of that tree? Nope. He had a free will still. He made the right decision and he come down, but he didn't have to. Neither do you have to come to Jesus Christ tonight. You can go on in your sin. You'll split hell like a bullet one day, and Jesus will let you if that's what you choose. But he wants you to come down from that tree. He wants you to come to him tonight before it's too late. We must be willing to come down from our sin, from our pride, from our religion, from our... Oh, we need to come down from whatever's keeping us from Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. When Jesus calls and invites us to himself, we better not delay, because the devil will give you excuses not to come. Folks, look at chapter 14 of Luke. Hold your place again. But look at this verse. Luke 14, verse 10. Jesus says, "But when thou art bidden," that's invited, "go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Jesus says the way to heaven, which is up, is down. You got to come down. You got to be humble. You've got to admit that you're a hopeless, hellbound sinner with no way of making heaven your home. And Jesus Christ will do that for you. He's already done all the work that needs to be done. Someone said the best way to stand up before the world is to kneel down before God. That's a good one. How about this? Those traveling the highway of humility won't be bothered by heavy traffic. Amen? There's no heavy traffic on that highway. Highway of humility. F.B. Myers wrote, "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above another, and the taller we grew spiritually, the easier we could reach them. But now I find that God's gifts are on the shelves, one beneath another, and the lower we stoop, the more we can reach." He said the humbler we become before God, the more dependent and needy upon him and his grace, the more we'll receive. The more we'll receive. Isn't that good? I love that. Jesus' invitation to Zacchaeus, come down. But I see another lesson we learn. Not only that did Zacchaeus have to come down to be saved, but something else. Sixthly, lesson number 6. Notice his ready obedience. Verse 6. Go back to chapter 19. Look at verse 6. "And he," Zacchaeus, "made haste." That means fast, quick. "And came down and received him." What's the last word? He didn't do it with a grudge. He didn't do it with a sorrow. He did it joyfully. He obeyed the master's voice and he made haste. He did it quick. Folks, you know what I believe? I believe that the Lord draws all people to himself. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, right? I believe in your life there will be a drawing. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know that Jesus promised to draw you. So important to answer that drawing with a yes, Lord. Here am I. I will receive you. I will come to you and not put it off. One thing the devil wants is delayed obedience. Oh, someday I'll come to Jesus. Someday on my deathbed I'll get saved. Oh, you don't know if you'll have that chance, beloved. Zacchaeus, look at it, verse 6, made haste and came down, look what it says, and received him joyfully. Woo. Now, his prompt response to the master's call and his joyful reception of him surely prove that Zacchaeus was sincere and honest in his search after Jesus. See, those who mean it will come to Jesus. And once they come to Jesus, they come to a whole new family, the family of God. And they want to be with that family. Where's the family of God? Oh yeah, we're right here tonight. We're gathered together in his house, right? Listen, nobody can get saved by ignoring what Jesus says. Hear what I say? You want to be saved? You better obey Jesus. The Bible says they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his gospel. It's his good news. It's his death, burial, and resurrection that we need to receive. But you know what? So many folks said, I got a better plan. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the cross. Okay. Have your own way. But in the end, you'll surely regret it. Jesus wants obedience. Zacchaeus gave it. Look in Luke 14 for a moment. Hold your place again. Luke 14. Look at this. In Luke 14, look with me at verse number 16. 16. Then said he, Jesus, unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade, that's invited, many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Whosoever will come, tell him to come. Folks, here what I see in this passage is that one by one they made excuse not to come to the king's supper. Oh, how many people today make this mistake? I'm busy. I got something better going on, Jesus, than to come to your stupid supper. Okay, if that's the way you feel about it. But Jesus' arms are still open saying, please come. Look at it. Verse 17 says, all things are now ready. He says, I've prepared your salvation perfectly. All you have to do is come and get it. That's it. That's all a sinner has to do. Come to Jesus and receive what he has prepared for them. What has he prepared for them? The blood of his cross to wash away all sin. The Holy Spirit of God to seal them within till the day of redemption. The word of God to comfort and strengthen them. And a home in heaven forever to bless them. Oh, all things are ready. All things are prepared. These ones who made excuse, they weren't saying, I can't come. They were saying, I won't come. There's a difference. Listen, folks, when they say, I will not come, Jesus says, okay, all right, that's the way you want it. Notice that Zacchaeus not only did what Jesus commanded him to do, but he also received him. Go back to our text. Look at verse 6 again. He received him. Now, let me make a statement. No sinner in the history of the church age, since 30 AD, since the cross, no sinner has ever received Jesus Christ, sadly. I want you to think about this statement. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. You can't have your sins washed away and be made a son or daughter of God and not be joyful. Christian, come on. There's nothing greater to make you happy than that. Jesus commanded him, and he received him. John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them Zacchaeus gave he power to become the sons of God. Joyfully. You weren't forced to do it. I'm not here tonight because somebody bent my arm behind my back and threatened to break it. I'm here tonight because I found Jesus joyfully, and I love him, and I want to serve him till I die. Folks, it's a joyful time for Zacchaeus. Something else about verse 6, though, I want you to see before we move on. Notice he made haste and came down. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And the longer a person waits to answer the call of Jesus, the more likely it is that they never will. They never will. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, behold, now is the time, accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul says, don't delay it. Come to Jesus now while you still can. Do you realize, church, tonight, that very, very soon there's coming a point in history where the time will be done for the age of grace. The world will enter a transitional period known as the 7-year tribulation period. You don't want to be here for that. God says, you better come to my son now while there's still hope. Zacchaeus had a ready obedience, but I see one more lesson. Listen carefully. Well, one or two more. Lesson number 7. Zacchaeus was mocked by the crowd. How do you know that, Pastor? Look with me at verse 7. 19, verse 7. And when they, who's the they of verse 7? The crowd saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. They all mocked Zacchaeus, and they were mocking Jesus. Notice what they said about Jesus. Oh, he's going to a house of a sinner. Yeah, as if they weren't sinners. Folks, listen to me. When you come to Jesus, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be made fun of. You're not going to fit in with the crowd. And that's a good thing. They murmured. They said, he'll never change. He's a sinner. He's a lowly trader, a tax collector. God would never accept him. He's just pretending to be a follower of Jesus. How many times have you heard that? Oh, they're just pretending. They said about me when I got saved, it'll wear off in a month. You'll be back to the bars. You'll be back partying with us big time. I said, nope. Luke chapter 21. Look at this. You'll be persecuted. In Luke 21, verse 12, Jesus said words in red, but before all these, they, that's the world, shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Zacchaeus, delivering you up to the synagogues, you know, the Jews who don't receive Jesus, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Jesus says, you want to know why you're going to be persecuted severely? Because of my name that you bear. When you bear the name, listen, you can call yourself a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Krishna, a Hindu, whatever you call yourself, the world will embrace you. But as soon as you say, I love Jesus, what happened? They don't like you. You become their enemy. There's something about that name. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can count on it. If you're living godly, you're living right. Zacchaeus was mocked by the crowd. You will be mocked, mark it down, when you come to Jesus. Isn't that exactly what happens to the one that comes to Jesus today? The world doesn't want to know you anymore. In fact, you're considered an enemy of theirs now because you don't go along with their carousing, their promiscuity, their indulgences. You're against that now because you came to Jesus and you don't fit in and you get mocked as a result. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Jesus was mocked. He wasn't only mocked, he was spat upon and crucified on a cross for you and me. I can take a little mocking, considering what he took for me. Wow! Nothing else, though. I see another lesson from the school of Zacchaeus, and that is this. Lesson number 8, Zacchaeus repented of his sins. Look with me in verse 8. Oh, this is good. Luke 19, look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I now restore him fourfold. You know what Zacchaeus did, folks? Listen to me. He repented sincerely. You know what we don't see anymore these days? Genuine repentance. Whatever happened to old-fashioned biblical repentance? Zacchaeus not only repented of his sin, he did restitution to those he had offended. Now, that your salvation is not contingent on restitution. Your salvation is contingent on true repentance. Finney preached on true and false repentance. He wrote a book on it. Good stuff. But folks, he truly repented of his sin. He changed his ways. You know what repentance is? It's not a work. It's a change of heart and mind. It's a change. That's what repentance is. I don't talk that way anymore. I don't act that way anymore. I don't do those things anymore. Why? I repented. I got saved. The people that, there is no doubt, the ones that get saved are those whose lives have turned 180 degrees around. I can tell my sister sitting in the church tonight, she can stand up and tell you right now how I changed. She said, I don't recognize my brother no more. There is no greater witness to a converted soul than a changed life. That takes power. Zacchaeus says, Lord, I'm making restitution to all those I've wronged in the past. Now, you don't have to do that. But to be saved, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you and I know that any person who does what Zacchaeus does here in verse 8 has definitely had a divine transformation. You know, I fear so many people today, they call themselves Christians. They even go to church. They carry the King James Bible. They do all the things that most Christians do. But they've never made an assault and declaration of war against sin. There's no repentance. That is sad. If there's true conversion, there will be true change of character. Only God can do that. Luke chapter 13, quickly. In Luke chapter 13, look at me at verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye what? Repent. Ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus is simply saying here that if you don't repent of your sins sincerely in your heart, you can't be saved. You're no better than the Galileans. You're no better than the Laodiceans. You're no better than the Siloans. You got to repent. So did they. You got to let go of some things if you want to come to Jesus. And Zacchaeus understood this. Look at verse 8 again. He let those things go. He was a changed man. And guess what? Read between the lines. Rome fired him. I guarantee he lost his job. Praise God for that, because he gained Jesus Christ. There's too many people embracing this false gospel today that says you can take Jesus to the barroom. You can take Jesus to the cinema to watch the filthiness of Hollywood. You can know Jesus doesn't mind if we just live together and shack up as long as we're not cheating on each other. I've heard Christians say that. Christians who believe the Bible, who said, oh, those two, they live together, but they really love each other, and they're faithful to each other. Well, where's that in the Bible? I mean, come on, folks, we're living in Laodicea here, where even the church doesn't recognize the truth of Scripture any longer. It's not okay. They need to repent and get married. They want to be right with God. Zacchaeus repented of his sins. It's not real popular today. But one last lesson I see, and we'll be done. Lesson number 9. Listen, don't miss this. Zacchaeus received instant salvation. Look at verse 9. Luke 19, verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and said, today, my friend, you've received the salvation of God. You have eternal life. You'll be with me in my Father's kingdom forever. Why? because he received him. Just because he received him. Jesus was looking for the whole crowd to receive him, but they didn't. Just one man, according to this passage, little old Zacchaeus, received him, and he received so much more than just the salvation. Notice the two words in verse number 10. Verse number 9. The first two words in red. This day. See, there are those who teach, if you, till you get baptized in our water, you're not really saved. Until you put money in the plate and join the church and do cartwheels and spit nickels and string beads, you're not really saved. Oh yeah, they want to add all these works to salvation. And Jesus says, nope, this day salvation has come to your house, Zacchaeus. Now listen carefully. The very day that Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house was the day of his salvation. It didn't occur months later. It was instant. And this is the only salvation Jesus offers. The gift of righteousness. Beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight that when Jesus is in the house, salvation has come to that house. What's in your house tonight, I wonder? What do you have in your house? I know Jesus is there because I can see everyone here tonight is saved. So I know Jesus is in your house. But is there anything that does not belong in your house? Listen to this. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All single syllable words. A kindergartner could recite that. Salvation is just as certain to as many as receive him as it was to Zacchaeus today. Let me show you what I mean. Luke 23. He received instant salvation. Let me show you another man that did. In Luke 23, look with me at verse 39. Don't miss this in closing. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, what's the next word? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what that thief on the cross received? Instant salvation. Instant eternal life. Why? Because it was a gift that Jesus gave him. He became, Hebrews 5:9, and he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation. Wow. I am so glad we've got the right salvation. In closing, let me give you this, and I'll be done. J.B. Dangus tells us that there is a certain interesting story concerning Zacchaeus of Jericho. The Jews say that when Zacchaeus grew very old and white-headed, Zacchaeus spent much time in a particular garden which he had bought in Jericho, near the Jerusalem road. His neighbors noticed that there was one particular tree, a sycamore tree, under which he loved to sit, and which he watered every day at the roots. One day a passing stranger stopped and asked him, saying, sir, why carest thou thus for the old tree so much? The aged man lifted up his fading eyes, but they seemed to have a heavenly glow, and slowly came his answer. It's because from the boughs of this tree I first saw my precious Lord. And it was from this tree that I first heard his voice. Beloved, the time and place where you met him is real special. You can remember it from the school of Zacchaeus. Father, how we thank you tonight. How we thank you that the school of Zacchaeus teaches us that we can receive Jesus just like he did. And Lord, when we're old and gray and white-haired, we can tell others, it was here that I met him. He changed me from the inside out forever. And I love him more than ever before. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for the message from the school of Zacchaeus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. And we'll sing one in closing. Praise the Lord. Oh, boy. Yes, indeed. So good to know that we've climbed that tree and come down from it.